Well, thank you everyone for coming to this extraordinary meeting of CGW held in Canoundra at the moment. I'd like to start by acknowledgement. We are meeting on the lands of the Wiradjuri people, who are the traditional custodians of the land. I'd like to pay our respects to their people, both past and present, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal Australians who are present or may be listening into this recording. Just noting that this all our meetings are recorded in accordance with the Central Tablelands Water Code of Meeting Practice. This meeting will be audio recorded and will be uploaded to Council's website within 2 weeks after the meeting. By speaking at the Council meeting, you agree to be audio recorded. Please ensure that if and when you speak at this council meeting, that you ensure that you are respectful to others and use appropriate language at all times. Audio recordings are a free public service and are not an official record of council meetings. For a copy of the official public record, please refer to council's business papers and minutes page on council's website. Council does not accept any responsibility for any verbal comments made during council meetings which may be inaccurate, incorrect, defamatory or contrary to law, and does not warrant nor represent that the material or statements made during the meeting are complete, reliable, accurate or free from error. Okay, so item four is apologies and applications for leave of absence by members. We have one member, Councillor Parler, who wishes to enter the meeting via a Teams link. Can I have a mover? Councillor Best and seconder, Councillor Newstead, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye, that's carried. You're in, Jan.
Thank you very much.
Matters arising from previous meetings, there are no matters arising that we would need to discuss. No, nothing happening there. Okay, item six is reports of staff. The 1.1 there is about the integrated planning and reporting requirements. So we're here today really to discuss the IPNR documents that are in draft in the business papers. The recommendation here is that council endorse those plans and then place them on public exhibition for a period of 28 days. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Goswich and seconder.
Yep.
Councillor Best, thank you. Can I pass it over to the general manager for the report?
I'd like to pass it over to our Corporate Services Manager to respond.
Well, I can summarise the report and then I'll hand to Peter for more information on the financials. Basically, the business activity strategic plan was, all the documents have been reviewed or developed. The strategic plan was reviewed to ensure that we updated the mission, the vision and the values as per the workshop that council had previously, and that all the strategies that were reviewed in the delivery plan and the operational plan and the workforce plan, all of those matched and aligned with the BASP. So it's there for exhibition for 28 days, and then the operational plan and long-term financial plan, I'll hand over to Rick to do a briefing.
Thank you.
Yeah, for you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, the operational plan is similar to what has been discussed as we've developed them. The key aspects of it are as a 20% increase in the availability charge, and a 4% increase in the user charge on the revenue policy front. And that's been done for a number of reasons. One is to try and recover some of the depreciation on our water infrastructure, and also to reduce our reliance on the change in mix between user charges and availability charges to give us more resilience in our income or less volatility in our income base. In relation to that, based on the average consumption of 155 kilolitres a year, this represents an increase of about $84.80 or 9.4% per year, or spread over 52 weeks of $1.63 per week. So that's the major features of our revenue policy. In relation to our capital program, we've got some major items there. A smart meter replacement, which has got $1.5 million over the next 10 years, to install and change our analog meters to smart meters, so that's $150,000 a year. Got a program for our depot upgrades. Our depots are in need of upgrading and refurbishment, so we've got $380,000, which will be carried over from this year, and a further $370,000, maybe $750,000 for the three depots over the next 3 years. So that'll be done there. We also had some money in the budget for 26-27 for the truck main year from the Kenomanoring pump station to the top of the hill. I think that should read 4.5 kilometres there. I think it's 4.5 kilometres, not 7. So that's part of the trunk mains that have been high priority for replacement. And of course, we have a couple of large items in the long-term financial plan, which is the Lake Rollins Dam wall raising, which is subject to the Blabbula Water Security Study, which is ongoing. It's currently just finished a round of community consultation. So that's one of the options in the global water security project. So there's $40 million in the budget there for 2032. It's been budgeted over 3 years from the time of the initial works to the time of completion of construction. And in it says 2023-34, it should be 2033-34. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Renewal of the Blaine Water Treatment Plant, where the preferred option there is to install a new plant at the Karkul Water Treatment Plant. Council does not currently have any borrowings. Just as an aside, we got a letter from the National Australia Bank the other day because Council had a 20-year loan that commenced in 2002 and finished in 2022, and the National Australia Bank have advised us that they miscalculated the interest on the very first instalment in 2002. And the interest they charged us about $2,700 of additional interest, which they weren't entitled to charge. So they've kindly offered to refund that plus another $400 of what they call compensatory interest. So that will be coming, a little bit over $3,000 will be coming back to council in the next couple of weeks. Which was
that's better news than after the fight.
I thought you were going to go the other way.
And then in terms of borrowings, with our long-term financial plan, there is going to be a need for significant grants and some borrowings as well. So we factored in some borrowings commencing in 2031-32. The first $3 million of those borrowings will be for the Lake Rollins project, and then a further $5.15 million the renewal of the Blaney Water Treatment Plant. With our capital program, it is based on obviously use of our own cash reserves plus grant funds, considerable grant funds for Lake Rollins, and so the use of loan funds. So it'll be a combination of funding sources that we'll need to bring into place over that period towards the end of the decade. In terms of the workforce, we've budgeted on 27.6 FTE. Full-time equivalents up from the 24.6 currently, and that includes two trainees, which will be largely funded by a traineeship grant from the department or the Office of Local Government. Other than that, there is our costs. Basically, electricity is going up by 10%. Electricity costs are very difficult to budget for because they have a fixed component and they have a user component. We do have long-term contracts for both our small sites of less than 100 kilowatts per year and our large sites. Our small sites are going up substantially based on the current contract, and council recall that they actually have delegated to the general manager and through the regional organisation of councils to actually look at possible options to get alternative supply for the small sites, and that's I understand that work's ongoing at the present time. But basically, and it's something that I've probably said many times before, it's always difficult budget in terms of central Tobolines water. We We've always had for decades a difficulty with financial sustainability. I don't just say it because I'm a finance person, but it's the biggest single issue that we face.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, secondary, it comes down to that basic thing of, are we financially sustainable in the future? Can we maintain our services? Can we renew our assets and so on? And that will be forever a challenge. So at any time we introduce new costs into the business, it's always a challenge. We have a very small revenue base, and it's always difficult to recover any additional costs that come into the business. So we're always wary of any decision that impacts on the costs in the business will have implications on our financial sustainability. A simple example, if we have introduced a cost of an additional $100,000 in year one and that goes through to year 10, well, that's $1 million, probably a little bit more by the time you index it over the life of the long-term plan. So it starts to become significant numbers. For instance, if you added another staff member or a network operator, for instance, that's going to cost you $1 million over 10 years.
Yeah.
So you need to look at it in that context and the implications of that, the implications of that over that longer period. So it's been a challenging one, but we're looking to move it forward. It's obviously going to be something, obviously, with the increases that we've put in our revenue policy, it's going to be a challenge for some people going forward. So we need to actually manage how we're going to deal with that going forward, and we'll get out there and after the day we'll communicate what we're planning to do if council resolves to go ahead that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll try and explain that situation, the reasons for it, and why we've chosen this pathway forward and why it's necessary for our future financial sustainability. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Do we wish to talk about the delivery program, workforce management plan, asset management plan first before discussion by council, I think?
Sure.
Yeah, is that okay?
No, through.
Yep.
No problem through you, Mr. Chair. So the delivery program was reviewed quite extensively to ensure that the priorities and activities did actually align again. Some of the activities were altered, and the ones that had been completed were removed and updated. So that's there for review. Also, the workforce management plan has been, we're looking at continuing to attract and retain capable and innovative staff. So as you're all aware, as Peter said, we've based on the 27.6, but we're looking at the actual structure over the next 12 months, and we'll be coming back to council with more details moving forward. And the asset management plan, I will hand back to the general manager for a quick summary.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, the asset management plan has been reviewed from previous with some minor amendments. It needs further work, which we continue to look at with the strategic projects that we're hoping to deliver later. We will look at undertaking a total asset management plan. We will also be considering the drivers that feed into that are actually the condition assessment of our assets. I'm trying to understand in more granular detail what are our assets condition, how are they performing, do we have reasonable useful lives on those, and that's a body of work that we continue to do, but we hope to do an amount of it this year, and 26, 27 I think is when we're doing the complete revaluation. That information actually gets poured into the asset management plan, but also is an important feeder into our long-term financial plan. So we're cognizant that we need to do some more work in that space, and we've got that planned to do, and that's going to take several years really to try and get to the bottom of that and refine the data that we have. But that's the information we have at hand, and that's what we've used currently. And I am conscious that there'll be further refinements of that as we continue. Look, this is, I guess we've provided the reports for council's consideration, but very important that we're all part of this, and we're really hoping to receive your feedback. This is actually your report as much as it is ours, so we're pretty keen to hear your feedback on it.
Well, I've certainly got a few things, but I think I'll open it to the rest of the board.
I think we can just get some board, please. A little coffee.
I'll open it to the rest of the board for comment. Questions?
Would you like to start? How would you like to progress with it? Would you like to start at plan one?
Let's work our way from the top down, from the business activity statements, or... is that all right? Is that everyone happy with that? So we'll just start with, we'll just work our way down through the plans. If there are any comments or questions, amendments, discussion. So we'll start with the business activity strategic plan. I assume everyone's read through it all.
Yeah, it's riveting.
Yeah, it's riveting. Thanks, Marlene.
Council Smart. Recall too, we did the workshop with Karen Legg, which we've incorporated the outcomes of that workshop into this and some of the operational plans, etc. One of the key, I guess, changes we've made, we did update the, you might recall, we had a vision and value statement previously. We've now incorporated the mission statement.
Yep.
Which
to supply quality, affordable drinking water to our customers in collaboration with our constituent councils. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Look, I had a quick comment about the, I certainly agree with putting in the priorities for each of the constituent councils and the JO. And the priorities clearly are related to the water specific parts of each IPNR from each of the councils. That's what that first table is there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the JO priorities, key strategic areas. And their vision, principal functions, blah, blah, blah. They're not specific to water. So I'm just wondering whether or not are they needed there? Or is that, I mean, there is a priority for regional water security, regional water network planning and best practice skills development. I'm just wondering whether or not the thing that sits underneath there is needed.
Mm.
So that was just a minor amendment.
Mm. Happy to take that out. Council's feeling on that.
Page 16. So there's a table there of the JO's statement of strategic regional priorities. All of that's fine. I think that's fine. But I think the thing that sits under that, our vision for Central New South Wales region, etc. I'm just not sure any of that's relevant or specifically relevant to this document. Whether it's needed at all. I don't mind either way, I must say.
If I could, Mr. Chair, principal functions in the priorities talk about intergovernmental collaboration and shared leadership and advocacy. I think that's important for Central Tamworth Water as well.
Yeah, and the member councils, good to have them there. Mm-hmm.
Is that captured elsewhere? Is really
no,
you don't think so. So that's the reason why you've opted in there. Okay, look, that's fine. I don't disagree with that.
You know, I like that.
Any other comments or questions about that document?
One little one, Macquarie and Castle Ray, their water sharing plan, why is that, you've got it here that's an impact on ours, is that something you can see a crossover between the two?
There is actually direct reference in that plan, the water sharing plan, to the sub-regional town water strategy.
Right.
So there is a direct reference into our strategies.
Okay, yep. That's right. Thank you.
So it's really just capturing all of that work that was done in that workshop, really, wasn't it?
Mm.
All our various strategic priorities, mentioning all of the various state and regional plans, regional water strategies are there. Yep, that's all there.
And if I can say, Mr. Chair, one of the things on our agenda over the next coming years is to try and establish that rapport and the relationship with our constituent councils. It's perhaps with Blaney and Wedden where they don't have their own water utility. It can lose a bit of traction. So we need to be proactive in trying to engage with them on that space. So we'll look to do that as part of that strategy going forward to ensure that we do capture our constituent councils' desires, needs and aspirations in that space as well and make it a focal point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Well, we might move on. Everyone's happy with that document. The operational plan is next. Any questions, comments, modifications that anyone wishes to raise?
How are we going with the... You mentioned the agreement with Orange Council. How are we going with that?
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair. We're very close. We're trying, certainly a lot closer than we have been the last 7 years. We've agreed between the two parties that there is an issue with the dead water storage component. And in the event of an emergency, we wouldn't be able to operate the pipeline with its intended purpose. So therefore, we're looking at how can we potentially operate the pipeline to ensure that there's no dead water. So we're refining those elements. There may be some additional instrumentation to consider the water quality more of on an instantaneous level. So look, I'd anticipate by the end of the month, the draft would be finalised and we're getting very close to signing.
Cool. I think as well, no, we allowed some in the budget, so I'm just trying to see if we ticked off on it yet, that's all.
Allowed
we allowed some sales in the budget?
No,
we didn't. Oh, okay. We talked about it. Okay.
We talked about it. It was discussed, but we didn't include it.
So it'll be windfall if it happens.
It'll be additional revenue. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I've just got a minor typo issue, activity 1.4.2, look for opportunities to optimise operational processes with objective to mitigate emissions, continue to explore transition to electric vehicles, not electronic vehicles. It should be electric vehicles, not electronic. There we go there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, it's just the anal side of me. Marlene knows all about this.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
She does too. Really, 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 really loves it. Everyone's happy with with that. I noticed there was also in strategic priority 2 on page 29. Annual review of workforce management strategy. It appears to be biannual. Is it?
Yeah.
So what's the plan there? Is it biannual or is it annual? I would assume it would be annual.
It isn't through you, Mr. Chair. It is an annual review. However, in the quarter, we're going to be working on it during quarter two, developing the workforce management plan, and then in quarter four, we're presenting it to council as our expectation. So for this year, That's when we'll be working on the review.
Okay, great, thanks.
We're going to have a very busy fourth quarter.
And strategic priority 3, page 31, activity 3.1.6, about the Blobula Water Security Project. You've mentioned Water Infrastructure New South Wales. It's not with Water Infrastructure New South Wales, it's DCHU. So the CCEEW.
Yep.
New South Wales, in fact, New South Wales, the CCEEW, because there's a federal version. And that was it for me, but anyone else, no other comments on that one? Okay, moving on to the financials, 25-26 financial statement of revenue policy, etc. It looks like a fairly comprehensive document. Very well done, thank you.
Through you, Mr. Chair, if I can just make it clear that we have added a new charge for vacant lots in that statement, which has been captured into the long-term financial plan. As
I've highlighted it, I've got a question about that.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
34?
Page 34. Yep.
Yeah, so...
Can we take questions?
Questions? Through you, Mr. Chair. Sure. How many, do you know how many properties there would be?
At this point, through Mr. Chair, no is the answer. We've only made an estimation at this point. There's a bit involved. It's a project of ours to continue with this year. But we need to get support from our constituent councils, from their planning department.
Identify them.
To help identify them, that's right. And even beyond that, there's potential that we may need to go and review the mapping ourselves to understand which properties are within that 200-odd metres of water main that have access and capability to connect.
You would think in, like, in a Blaney, say, there wouldn't be too many vacant blocks that wouldn't be within 225 metres of a main, would there?
There'd be blocks, but they'd be near the main.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We'll find that out. Yeah. Absolutely. It is a project that could take us probably 6 to 12 months to try and get the base numbers, and then it could be another 12 months before we get...
Because if you've got a vacant block in between two other houses, you're definitely within 200 metres of main, aren't you? So do you think there'll be... My theory is that there'll be a bit of pushback on this from the constituents. Like, I think... this is probably something, if it was allowable, should have been done a long time ago. You know, especially at this point in time where cost of living is the big issue. I kind of understand that if people had a meter on their block, yep, they should be paying. But if there's nothing connected, I know it's to pay for the future when they can be connected. But I just think that there'll be a bit of pushback on this one. And should we be going out to the community to tell them? Because let's face it, a lot of people aren't going to read what we've got here. And all of a sudden they're going to get a bill that says you've got to pay $176 or whatever it is for water that they don't use. They're going to be going, oh, I don't have a bloody meter, I don't have a tap, don't have anything on my place. So.
Yeah, through the chair, what if the person owned that place there? And then he had another block there, and he's already paying water there, and that's just an extra block. Would he have to pay on that?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And if I could answer that, Mr. Chair, the information we'd be gaining from the constituent councils would be, I'm hoping, readily available to a large percentage at least, because they're applying vacant charges for sewer. So it's the same principle as that, and the theory is that, along with legislation that enables us to, but if a water pipe and infrastructure runs past the property that could potentially service it, that property should be contributing to the operational element of those of that infrastructure.
Oh, look, I don't have any vacant blocks, so I don't care. Really. but I can see that there will be pushback from people that have had a vacant, say they've had a vacant block for 20 years, which there are in town, and all of a sudden they're going to start getting charged. They're going to...
Mr. Chair,
sorry.
I might just ask our corporate services manager just to explain what we're, our intention is about implementing this.
Can I add something before?
Yeah, sure.
I would like to see that change to water main running past vacant block, because I think we may have trouble with the 225 metres if we don't have a water main. If we have a water main within that 225 metres of a vacant block, we don't have a water main, we may have to then put an extension. So if we're charging someone for availability, half availability charge, and they don't have access to water, we'll then have to give them water if they want it at a rate. I'll use an example. I'm trying to think of one, but I mean, the thing is, if we don't have a water main going past the place, but we're charging those people because they're within 225 metres, then all of a sudden they say, well, I'm paying, for the last 2 years I've been paying half the availability charge, I want water on now, and then you go back and say, Central Tablelands goes back and says, oh, we don't have a water main there, you'll have to pay for a main extension.
Through the chair, that's definitely right. The infrastructure is not there in a lot of places in Manildra and all of the smaller places. If the infrastructure is not there for them to connect, and then they have to pay to put that infrastructure there too. So infrastructure should be there, probably.
I've got so I'd like to see that change to if the main is adjacent to property or within the facility.
Or doesn't require an extension.
Well, I think the 225 is a bit...
Through you, Mr. Chair.
It's the legislation.
We look at the enabling legislation, section 552 of the Local Government Act for this. There are two elements to it. One is the 225 metres, and the other aspect, which is in the legislation, is it must be capable of having a water service provided. Now, if it's within the 225 metres of the main and it's not capable with the current infrastructure that's in place to have a service connected, then it is not liable for the charge.
Okay, I'd like to see that added into that. Mm-hmm. Into that then.
That's in there.
But into that.
Okay.
Into here.
Into point three.
Yeah.
Just put as per act.
Yeah,
that's but actually stated in there, because people are not going to go look at the act or try and find it. No. I mean, if we have it stated. To me, that sounds great. I agree with that. I just worry if you have the 225, and I know in different parts of the Shire where, we will have trouble because the main doesn't actually run down certain places.
Yeah.
Might be on the other side of the street. Or something.
Well, no, 225 metres.
But even to come from, say, one side of the street to the other wouldn't be cheap. Especially if you've got to do an underbore or something like that to get it to
stop and go in.
So can we have some new words for that particular item so that we can make a modification?
It's even to add what the Act does will do that, sir.
Yeah. What I think we'll do when we come to voting on all of this afterwards is just include all of these minor amendments as a job lot. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Make it simpler. But if we've just got some words that we're happy with.
So through you, Mr. Chair, a new availability charge will now apply for vacant unconnected properties which are capable of...
Which are located within 225 metres of a water main and are capable of being connected.
Being connected in accordance with section...
Whatever it is of the Act.
The wording is actually in the legislation. Yeah. So we can look it up.
We'll use the wording in the Act.
Okay.
Through the chair, I think we've just got to get it right, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be charged that are not going to be happy, and as well as that, they're not going to really be liable.
And we don't want to be liable to then do a main extension for $100,000 to get back $2,000.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it as a person.
No, that's good thought.
Especially on a dead end, if then we can extend the main for 225 metres to give that person.
So we've got to be practical about it.
To retrieve
$2,000. Just have it right.
That is the customer paying first.
Sorry, Paul, you were...
Oh, just a question on Riley. That was the plan to gather all the information, gather all the blocks, and then execute that?
Yes. Through the chair, going back to... we are developing a media statement and some information to put out to the community on social media, and it will have certain points, highlighted points of the changes or things that are happening within these documents, and they will go out on Monday after the documents are placed on public exhibition. So, you know, the new charge, the 20% access fee, will be included, as well as any other highlights that you feel should be necessary.
I've got a few ideas. So
Could you somehow get it in with, say, the next rate notice, because everybody gets the rate notice?
We've actually already done that. Yeah. So the rates are going out. They'll be in the boxes this week, and we put a newsletter with it. The very front page talks about that there will be that we are looking at an increase to the rates, and that the information would be within these documents. So we need to follow that up.
I do acknowledge too that through the rates notice we won't probably get to all the vacant property owners. So we may need to, and this isn't going to be something that happens on the 1st of July. This is a project for us, so we have to collate the data and make sure it's right before we can start doing that. If we can get mail mergers from our constituent councils on those properties and the addresses, we can send them information on upcoming charges. So we can pre-warn them of a charge that's being implemented and the reasons why, and that they know that that's coming.
Yep.
So we'll try and get as broader coverage as we can.
And through you, Mr. Chair, the next rate notice will actually have more detail about the plans.
Yeah. So what about the meter reader when he's doing his round? If he goes to 15 Osmond Street and then 17 Osmond Street is vacant, 19 Osmond Street is a house, could he note that down as well? Would that help or not?
As a vacant
block, 17. So
there is that opportunity, yeah.
Yeah.
Through the chair, what if it's on the same title?
Well, then it wouldn't.
It's only the one block.
It's only the one block. Yeah, it's the same title.
The vacant block. That's one thing we've got to be really careful with. It's say a meter reader sees it. Maybe that same black person owns that block.
That would be picked up when we look at the rating and the mapping information.
And the title searching through each council. Yeah.
We're not charging the, just in case they can subdivide into 10 blocks, we're just charging what they can do now. That's the issue.
If it's a lot on a title,
with
nothing built on it.
Yeah. That's a vacant block.
That's a
vacant block. Right. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Are you still going, Mr. Chair?
Yep, absolutely, go for it.
15 and 16, should they be added together?
15, 16.
A new fee been introduced to cover the installation of backflow prevention devices. It has been set at a cost of 15%, plus 15%. A new fee has also been introduced to cover the cost of inspections. That is of backflows, I assume?
It is, they are.
What I'm saying, we probably should have black flows in there or add that to the.
Yep, sure.
Because it's just an annual inspection, are we annually inspecting what?
Black flows, yep.
Yeah, good point.
Another quick comment, Mr. Chair, for my. On page 35, underneath the annual, the little. Boxes there, it's got please contact council if you wish to obtain an estimate of the impact of the charges on your annual water account based on your consumption. Why is that in this document? If people don't read that, they're not going to.
Well, through you, Mr. Chairman, we thought because this is these are significant changes, if someone has concern about the impact on their and the significant change in the charges that we're making. If someone has concerns about the impact in dollar terms on their particular consumption profile, that was put in there to give people the opportunity to communicate with council.
Will that also be in, say, the newsletter?
Well, that can be put in.
I think that would be more sensible than in here because there might be only a half a dozen people look at this. We're sitting here reading it and I look at that and I go, well, it's pretty common sense anyway. If you want to ask a question, you're in. Instead of getting on Facebook or something like that, ring the council instead.
Mr. Chairman, it was put in there for the specific reason to prevent bill shock for the consumer.
Oh, yeah,
if the consumer says, okay, I consume this, how much is me?
As long as it's, I think as long as it goes out with the next rate notice or something to say, if you've got concerns, please ring us.
I don't have a problem with leaving that in there.
No, I don't either. But
because this is a public document.
Yeah,
it's to go out for public comment. But I totally agree with you that, something like that needs to go into any correspondence we have with the constituents.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I've got a couple of other comments myself. So anyone else? Getting the message out in an appropriate way is the most important thing. We've got the marketing of these changes is, as you know, is critical. And I think we really need to build up the all of the arguments about why we are doing this. We've already articulated some about the need to reduce the volatility of our financial situation, because we are so heavily dependent on the climate, both for the collection of water and also the use of the water by our customers. So that's a thing which is changing, as we keep talking about. We all know about that. Everyone knows that it's more volatile. So mentioning that change in the mix between the access charge and the rating charge, I think it's an important message to get across, the reasons why we're doing that. The other thing too, which I think most people probably will recognise, is that this is a water utility that's now 80 years old, and which means we've got a lot of infrastructure which is getting to the end of its working life. I think we've all recognised that. This board 50, 60, 70 years ago wouldn't have been going through these problems, these issues of having to replace stuff that was only 10 years old, 15 years old. We are now in the situation which is just because of time. We're the board that has to start dealing with major infrastructure upgrades and renewals. So it's got to that point. I mean, I liken it to around Orange, for example, there's a whole pile of big pine trees everywhere. All big, those lovely big giant pines along country lanes. Well, they're all being cut down. Yeah. And the reason why is they've reached the end of their life and they're having to be cut down and replaced. So it just so happens that we're living at a time when we're the ones who've now got to do that. So if we can get that message out that we've got infrastructure which is aging, it's getting to the end of its working life, and so we've got to bite the bullet and do that, which we have been doing. And again, that message that that it's not something we've suddenly come out of the blue. It's not an idea that suddenly popped up. We've been doing these infrastructure upgrades for a number of years, and we've got to continue to do that. So I think if those arguments can really come out, I reckon that would be...
I think that's a real good point. It needs to be there. People can understand. They want water.
We're at that point where we really need...
upgrade.
And there are other things that are out of our control, also out of our control, such as the increase in the supercharge. So we're now having to pay 12% for super rather than 11.5. Even mentioning that, most people will recognise that because it's happening in their own world as well. Electricity costs, you mentioned, that's a pretty big increase in, why 10%? That's big. That's bigger than CPI. So there's lots of costs that we have to deal with, which a lot of people will understand. So hopefully we can sort of throw that into the mix of the marketing.
Definitely. We have a draft prepared. We will add the vacant matter and we'll look at putting a couple of extra points in there.
Brilliant.
If you like, Mr. Chair, would you like to see the draft before it before we put it out? Would you be happy to?
I'm very happy to have a look, yeah. I trust you'll produce something that's great.
Mr. Chair, can I also just emphasise that we share the same concern and the importance of making sure that we articulate that message appropriately. We have engaged an external media consultant to assist us with this because we see the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you absolutely have our support in trying to articulate to the community and those who are going to be impacted.
We know all about it, don't we, Craig, with our special rate variation,
yes,
because basically that's what this is in a de facto way. It's a special rate variation. But it was interesting, I had somebody say to me, why are water rates so dear? The water falls out of the sky, it's free. And I said, no, that's not what it's about. I said, the water's still free, but you're paying for everything to get that water to your house.
Yes.
I said, all the pipes, everything that goes through the filtration.
And all the quality control.
And water quality. And, I suppose. And people don't think about what's under the ground. That's just what it is, unfortunately. We do because we're in a position where we need to. So.
You know, and get educated.
Mm. Yeah.
I've got another query about the developer charges, and I note the developer charge is only going to be increased by 2.4%. I know we discussed this in the workshop, but I just want to clarify it yet again. For the exact same reason that the rest of the consumers are being slugged with a 20% access charge plus a 4% rate increase, and yet we're only putting developer charges up by 2.4%. And there may be some blowback about that. The developers, they can afford it. Why is it, So could I have some explanation about why only 2.4%?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, the development service plan that was adopted by Council in 2021
mm-hmm.
has a specific escalation clause in it,
mm-hmm.
and it deals with the movement in the Sydney City CPI. It's not the general CPI. It happens to be the same as the general CPI in this case. At 2.4%,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it actually came out at. So year on year, December 23 to December 24, because that's the year that's the latest one I have. The March figures has only just come out, and I think it's come out at 2.4 as well. So that's actually specified in that adopted development servicing plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something we have discretion to change that mechanism until we redo the development servicing plan, which we plan to do in the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
So that's something that's actually adopted in there, so we don't have discretion to change that.
When you say we, you're talking about the staff as opposed to the board?
The board can do it by coming up with a new development servicing plan.
Yep.
You can go out and do that at any time if you wish to mm-hmm. engage in that process, which is a lengthy process.
Mm-hmm.
But currently we've got to stick to the adopted one, which is the 2021 document.
Okay, well, I guess have those arguments ready because...
Well, Mr. Chair, sorry if I can interrupt. The list of strategic projects that we had indicated that we were looking to progress with, the data that we get back from that was intended to be able to feed straight into update our development servicing plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if those projects progress, we will have the necessary data to be able to fairly, inverted commas, because no one can see this, but relatively easily put that data into the modelling to spit the plan out. So that's the intention later in this year.
Thank you. Thank you both. That's all from me for that particular document. We might move on. And if everyone's happy with those.
I was going to say, with the budget, are we in the budget? Still in the budget one, aren't we?
I think we are. Yeah. Yes, we are.
It's just the estimated user charges and fees.
Page
42.
Sorry. That's
right. We're estimating $6,175,000. So we're sort of about talking about going backwards, and we're putting the water up by 4%.
For you, Mr. Chairman, I can answer that question. Is basically that revenue line there includes private works and connections as well. So it's not only just water user charges.
Okay, thank you.
And we used 155 kilolitres for our estimate. So it's been based on that 155 kilolitres, because what we have found is that structurally, the use of water is decreased, certainly since the last drought that finished in 2020. And the actual change in consumption over that period from 2020 to now has been really slow. Admittedly, also, as the chair would know, I've had many discussions, the climate has actually changed and it's been quite a wet period as well. But what we're not actually seeing is we don't get this sharp return if weather conditions become dry again, because people have become used to water saving measures and demand management measures, and they continue to implement those post the drought period. They don't immediately say, okay, we've got more water, we'll use more water. That just simply doesn't happen anymore. So that's a structural shift.
No, thank you. And the other question I had on that was the capital grants and contributions of $1.3 million.
Yes.
Have we got those guaranteed?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I'll answer that question. We have an item in this meeting to discuss one of those items in confidential committee, and that covers that particular item.
So we're putting it there, not in the user charges and fees like we talked about before?
That is a capital contribution that will be made under Section 64 of the Local Government Act, so it shows up in there.
Yep, cool, thank you.
Excuse me, through the chair, I've just got one. I'm just wondering why Quandiala is so much cheaper.
Sorry, you're referring to the development?
Yeah, sorry, yeah, page 41.
Yeah, sorry, through you, Mr. Chair, the Quandiala scheme through the development servicing plan, when it was modelled, it came out at a cheaper rate. Maybe the Director of Finance Corp Services could...
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, the development servicing plan concentrates on the Lake Rollins development area, and it didn't actually develop a figure for the Quandiala area because there was no expected growth, there's anticipated growth and so forth put in there. So basically what council decided at the time was it would be set at 50% of the Lake Rowland service area rate. So that's how we come up with the 50% figure.
Isn't it serviced now by Lake Rowland?
No, it's a separate scheme.
Oh, okay.
No connection whatsoever.
Oh, right.
So it's its own bore, its own
filtration. So what do you think about the growth there now?
No. And it seems that credible's not really happening either, which we have already discussed. So,
wondering why
that might change, I guess, if credible came on board, potentially, that we'd cross that path if and when it ever happens.
Potentially, Mr. Chairman, there may have to be something that, obviously, when the development servicing plan is next reviewed, that area would have to be considered and perhaps have its own capital program and its own developer servicing charge.
Yeah. Well, Central Tablelands Water does still keep an eye on Quandiala, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we own and operate the infrastructure there and provide it as a potable water source.
Yeah.
It's probably interesting that some of the unknown factor at this point is what the new health-based targets might have, and how do we start planning for that, what those implications are, so that's going to be a body of work to understand.
Yeah. Mm. With the developer charge, there's a bit of a history behind it, because when they initially put the system in, there was a set developer charge there, which to pay for the system was increased every year.
Mm.
So at the point where we finished off, it was quite expensive. It was actually too expensive to anyone to connect. So that was part of the, if you connected at the beginning of the system, you paid a fee. Every year after that, that increased, and it increased quite dramatically.
Right.
So they got to a point where it was quite expensive to connect to that system. And so when we did the redo development charge, we brought it back to in line.
Through Mr. Chairman, as Councillor Best has articulated there, there was also a separate access charge, which was fine.
Yeah.
And then it transitioned across to the same access charge across the network.
Okay, thank you.
I've got a few questions. Councillor Minister. Just looking on page 43 at the top, plant vehicle replacement, $1 million over 2 years. Other than light vehicles, what other machinery do we have that would, because you'd be hanging on to your vehicles for a few years, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be spending them $500,000 a year, would you?
For you, Mr. Chairman, we do currently have a number of vehicles at the moment which have currently got the K's on, we need to replace, and ideally we'll try and replace them prior to the 30th of June. That's something we need to deal with operationally. We have two that have got quite high K's actually on them. The other factor to bear in mind there with that estimate is, and it came up earlier in the strategic business plan, is the transition to electric vehicles. And obviously that once you transition to those electric vehicles, it comes at a cost premium as well. So we really don't know if we start transitioning some of the work vehicles to electric, which is we haven't got to that stage as yet. I know there would be incentives possibly available as well to offset that cost, but that is something that we'll need to do. But we're looking at about a 20 vehicle fleet, and we look to try and change it over every couple of years, or certainly 80,000 case for the for the work vehicles. But some of them have got considerably more than that on them at the moment.
So the workage, so it's a bit of a way off for fully electric vehicles with them yet. Like if you buy the Shark, which is but it's only got an 80-kilometre range.
It's a plug-in hybrid, Mr. Chairman, yes. That's a plug-in hybrid. They've just taken the FBT incentives away from those vehicles as well. So the plug-in hybrid model has suffered quite a reduction in sales because they've just changed at the 31st of March from the 1st of April. Plug-in hybrids can no longer be packaged with no FBT. So there's a couple of unknowns there. So really it's probably something as we transition, we need to probably look at the fleet management and look at how we're going to transition forward and at what point we'll look to electric vehicles in that commercial workspace.
I guess even the plug-in hybrids, if they've got a range of 80 kilometres, some of the guys probably wouldn't do more than 80 kilometres a day. And then they plug them back in overnight or whatever. But anyway, thanks for that.
I was going to say, I think probably they do more than 80 k's.
But the plan is, because actually I was reading about the BYD Shark yesterday, and like the 80 k range, but it's like a petrol vehicle anyway. So you get your whatever.
Yes.
But the battery's there. If you did run out of fuel somewhere, you might get back to wherever. But anyway, that's all good. The other one quickly is just the office equipment, 52,000 and 53,000 over 2 years. What kind of stuff do you
have? We're looking basically there at there are some IT devices that we have that are out of date. Yep. So we need to transition a number of devices. And it also allows for transition of some of the PCs at the depot as well. We may not spend that amount of money, but it's there and it's available so we can transition. Recently, some of our devices, people would be aware that we've gone to Windows 11. Some of our devices would run on Windows 11, so we hadn't updated some of the devices. And there's a few other devices I think have been identified by our IT provider that are in need of an upgrade coming forward. So that's basically what it's to cover.
Okay, another one, page 45, meter reading, 262,300. Does that include the meter reader and office staff?
That includes the meter reading and all the software that's associated with that. We do have quite a software cost now, particularly with the smart meters and so forth. That includes the meter reading. It also includes the meter replacements.
But does that include the meter readers pay as well?
It includes the meter readers pay, but it's important to note that we use now a number of operators, our operators to do that meter reading. So it's not just a single person. There could be quite a few people that are involved
but
in
still,
that. And that includes the plant as well.
But that, to me, not knowing what the other stuff costs, whether you've got one meter reader or two, they're still getting their yearly pay. So it works out the same. Like you wouldn't expect a meter reader to be on $120,000 or something like that. Correct. It just seems a lot of money to me. But anyway, that's
I think it's approximately over 50,000 meter replacement as well.
Okay.
So that sort of has got to be sort of
factored in. I did have other questions, but I won't ask them.
You're welcome to.
Just on that then, so that you're doing the $1.5 million with smart reader replacement.
Over 10 years.
So is that, there are some subscriptions in that fee? Is there?
There would be.
So that would be included in that. And that'll be an ongoing every year, the subscription will,
As they do.
Yeah.
Councillor, you said you're welcome to ask.
The only other one is page 46. I had a look at the user charges and fees. It looks like we're on this year, 24-25, looks like we're $475,200 below what the original budget was.
Yes.
And then on the interest and investment revenue, we've made $80,000 more.
Yes.
So that means we've still made a loss of $119,569.
Well, there's a number of points on that, and we haven't completed the March review, but I do have the advantage of having just had the opportunity to look at the last quarter's water consumption figures. They have come back a little bit, but not enough to get us out, so there will be a further reduction in that estimate. And with interest, we're pretty much locked in for this year. We may be able to squeeze another 30 or 40K out of that estimate because we locked in for 12 months, so we've got quite a bit of the year covered. But the outlook for that in future years is a bit uncertain at the moment. They're talking about 50%. Some commentators are talking about a 50% drop in the cash rate, which I think is unlikely. That's just my thought, because I think the RBA will probably be more cautious. They don't want to be
50% or 50 basis points. Yeah. Okay, that sounds better.
Yeah. 50 basis points. So, so it's always a difficult one, particularly with the interest now, with the things sort of, people are sort of saying, well, the bottom of the next cycle is going to be quite high, meaning it could be still 3% is your lowest rate in the cycle, whereas before we went to 0.1% on the cash rate, people will recall that.
Mm.
We're not going to see it. We're not going to see anything like that again. So basically that's the situation. But the user charges and fees, there will be a further downward reduction. Some areas, such as the automatic filling stations, albeit it's a very small thing, we have seen some very substantial pickup in automatic filling stations over the last 3 or 4 months. There has been some issues with the Grenfell filling station in terms of the telephone connection, the card reader connection, which has been very frustrating. We are looking to try and address that. We're currently getting a quote. It's been recommended by the filling station manufacturer that we look at getting a pole because it's in a bit of a black spot in where it currently is, and they get a pole and an aerial to try and improve the connectivity or the connection there. I understand it wasn't a problem when we were using 3G, but it apparently is a problem now with the 4G's involved. It's become a very, and I know it's been frustrating for a couple of water carters around the Grenfell area. Rest assured, we've been trying to fix it as much as we can. I'd love to have it, all of them going all at one time, but
yeah.
It's been frustrating, and we're trying to isolate the problem. We only recently spent quite a bit of money upgrading those filling stations, and it's now a Telstra signalling issue.
Goodness.
So we're trying to work through that. But overall, our sales, there will be a further reduction in that come the March review.
Just one quick one, bit on Council Best's. We're allowing the $1.5 million for the smart meters. Are we best to do a review and have a look at what the best system is now with this 3G and 4G, 5G,
mm-hmm.
and have a reassessment before we commit to another, just on what Peter was saying, and similar to, like, have a analysis and a review to see what is going to be our best interest?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair, it's our intention to go out to do an expression of interest, try and identify our scope and some of the challenges we feel might be present, connectivity being one of them.
That's what I was just thinking, where our systems are.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking if we're going to commit for over 10 years, whether we relook at a new system or whether we go with the old system, or I just mean where we've got stuff compared. And I understand what Peter's saying with the Grenfell Tower. Like, Blaney's got some, we didn't have black spots probably a year and a half ago. Now in some spots we have black spots. So I'm just thinking the same sort of thing. And we've got the different type of mountain ranges and rocks and whatever else. So should we have a better cost analysis and see whether before we commit to a system?
Yeah, we haven't yet committed.
Okay.
Except to say that technology is now available to us, and that provides us some benefits from a work health and safety perspective, from a data capture perspective. So there's certainly benefits. We do want to make sure we try to understand what is in the market, so that they will come and present to us what do they have and how will they address the challenges that we face before we go down the path of selecting a specific supplier.
And we definitely have a carrot there where there's a potential to spend $1.5 million. It's a nice carrot.
Yeah.
So they should do the legwork. I mean, just for us to commit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not the ones that have to go and test this technology out. It's been done on quite a few utilities.
Yeah.
We've been in consultation with some of those to see what they're, how they're finding things. There's, as you know, with any technology, there's no perfect solution. No. So we're going to have to be vigilant about how we approach it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you. We aren't yet wedded to anything. We want to make sure what we get is the best option for us.
And the other issue with it is the integration and synergy. That's a very important aspect of it, and that will be considered as well.
Councillor Newstead, did you have further?
Yeah, just on page 44, the reserves listing yesterday noted movements in cash restrictions. Especially at the top, there's the original budget and then the revised budget. It's like there's some pretty big differences there, and I'm just not getting my head around what that all means. Can you?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yeah, I can certainly clarify that to Councillor Newstead. The original budget's done prior to the 30th of June of 2024. So the revised budget is based on the actual reserves that were at the 30th of June 2024 or come across to the 1st of July 2024. So it becomes the opening figure, so the closing doesn't equal the opening, the original estimate, because that's a revised estimate based on the actuals of the 30th of June in 2024, because we did the budget for 24-25 prior to the 30th of June 24, so we don't have the final reserves figure till we do the financial statements for the year, and they're adopted by council in August.
So there where it says transfer from reserve for capital works, and say you go to the revised budget for 2024-5, which is say $2,423,455, and then transfer to reserves for capital works, I would have thought that that was just that amount going in, but when you look down the bottom, it's only $2 million. So what's happened to the other $423,000?
Well, basically the transfer from is to fund the capital program, so that's the transfer from. And currently within that adopted budget, we've got the budget for 25-26. We're planning to transfer, if we achieve that outcome, $2.1 million into the reserves.
Okay.
And currently in 24-25, yeah. $2
million.
Yeah. So the 24, the actual transfer from is based on the actual capital program at the time, which was the December budget review.
Okay.
So that there can be some movement in the reserves from week to week, I suppose, without putting too fine a point on it. But to know exactly what, how much, you know, with your payments, how much is coming out of the reserve and how much is coming out of revenue and everything. So you really need to do a budget review. Certainly when we do the March review, we'll have a more accurate figure on that. But it's important to state that the reserves of the business are fairly strong. And that's something that reflects the fact that even though operationally, because of the depreciation number, we're really struggling from an operational point of view. From a cash point of view, we are maintaining pretty healthy reserves, but we will need them because, as we've discussed earlier, we do have ageing infrastructure. As the chairman's indicated, we started in 1944. A lot of the infrastructure was built in the 50s and 60s. So that certainly needs to be replaced, and we're in that phase now where we need to certainly start to look at that. But it's one of the things that's recently happened is the Office of Local Government has put out a code of accounting practice just as an aside, and they're starting now to get an operating result before depreciation. So they reckon it's been distorting some of the financial position of some councils. Some councils have been unfairly judged because of the depreciation number they're using, and that's something obviously for Blaney Council as well. I know the depreciation number is quite high, and that's something that, you know, can impact your bottom line result. So when you're actually, if you can fund part of that depreciation and you're not actually spending all that depreciation, then you can build up your reserves until such times as you need it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments about that section? Councillor Pollitt.
I've been listening to everything. I'm right in understanding that we've got potential windfalls with Orange Connection if that comes through, so we've not budgeted or included that. And also any new connections. I know we usually have about 30, I think I read somewhere every year. Or, so that's potentially income that's not in there. Is that correct?
For you, Mr. Chairman, basically I've always sort of budgeted fairly conservative when it's come to connections. To give you an opportunity, if your overall consumption or your average consumption decreases, then you've got a little bit of a buffer there. So it's basically to provide some resilience in the estimate. It is true to say we did not budget for any income from supply of any bulk water to Orange. That's certainly true. We did factor in some increase. I think it might have been around 15 megs for the MSN milling development. We did factor that in there in our estimates. So that's for basically from the end of this year till June 2026. So we do have some elements in there for that. But other than that, we've tried to be conservative as we can, but we don't want a situation where we clearly think that we've got high probability of receiving the income and we haven't accounted for it. But it does give us some resilience going forward if we have, say, another period of wet weather or so forth as well. And it's difficult to predict. You would say at the moment we've currently got a run of very dry weather, and some of the areas within our service area are quite dry, very, very dry. So we really don't know how it's going to go, but that's basically how we've gone about it. Councillor Parley.
Thank you.
Just wanted to link the asset back up to this one with the asset plan. We've also got, you've got in the high risk for Trunk Main Cane. That's only just a fact that it hasn't been updated. So we haven't included any for Trunk Main Cane in any of the long-term financial plans.
Trunk Main Cane to Grenfell, Gorgon.
Yeah, that was all replaced. Yes. So that's just a failure from, it hasn't been updated in the asset management plan. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, the useful life has.
Yeah, you've got Trunk Main K, transfer water from Trunk Main C to Grenfell North Reservoir. You've got that as a high risk, that was all.
That's... Oh, okay. Oh, we haven't got that far yet.
No, but I'm just linking it back to the long-term financial plan. Everything else with the high risk, we've got included in the long-term financial plan.
Yeah. But that one, the risk profile is how we view the asset.
Yep.
If it's a high risk, it's something that we have to have as a priority. Does that make sense?
So yes.
We can't allow that to fail.
Yep.
Whereas maybe treasury, one of the treasury lines might, we're happy for that to fail for a couple of days. That's no big deal.
I think Councillor Best is alluding to the point we actually recently replaced Trunk Main K, so it wouldn't be high risk.
Yeah, it wouldn't be high risk anymore.
It's high risk, low probability.
This is
a good segue into the fact that we are now moving into the long-term financial plan component. Is that right?
Yeah, I was looking at the long-term, like I said, ones where we've got gravity mains from Lake Roland to Carcor, the water treatment plan. We've budgeted for that. That was all. I was just trying to link it back to what we budgeted for. Thank you.
So, okay, we're definitely now well and truly into the long-term financial plan, part of the documents, is that right? So I'm 51, 52, 53 and onwards, is that right? So there's, apart from the comment from Councillor Best, are there any other questions, comments about that section? Long-term financial plan.
I mean, 2030, 2031 and 32 are going to be big
years.
They're going to be real big years. Yes.
I think I added it up there. It was $79,179,000 worth of work in the capital works program over 10 years. So $7 million a year.
Fair chunk of that being the
Lake Roland.
Things will move, will change, and with that.
Through you, Mr. Chair, did you say, Pete, with the renewal and upgrade of the treatment plant in Blaney that it was going to be done at Carcor instead?
Yes.
So is that $15,300,000, is that going to be enough? So what will happen to the Blaney plant then?
In terms of the $15.3 million, that was an option study done by Adam Consulting. That was their preferred option to do it in two stages out there and be located at the Carcor. So the Blaney plan, I'll let the general manager indicate what we're at, but basically it I'd assume would be basically decommissioned.
TBA.
To be announced.
Mm. There's still a body of work to be undertaken with that project. The assessment that's been done to date has indicated that there might be benefits to moving it to Carcoal. So the next phase of that project, we would consider in more detail what those options are and how to best approach it.
We had a workshop on the Blaney treatment plant in the previous term of the board, where we went through all these various options, and the consulting firm came in and we went through all of this. And I think, yeah, so this is what was the outcome of that.
We said that too, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so that's where that's come from.
The only thing too, though, as I said to Craig on the way over, you know, 40 million now in 10 years' time could be 60 million for the dam wall. You know, hopefully we've got an answer long before that, as far as they're spending $7 million at the moment to give us an answer. It's one way or the other.
Who knows whether or not that figure is too high, too low, even, yeah. I mean, if we... Poor Peter's got to come up with a figure that's reasonable. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when the figure that was bandied around was only $14 million.
I was about to say that was
the original. Yeah, it was $14 million, then it went to $18 million, and then a couple of years ago there was a lot of discussion with the current board at that time, and we landed on a figure we thought was reasonable. It's $40 million. Irrespective, it's important to point out that we will need, obviously, as part of that, there will be a need for a large amount of grant funding to enable Central Tablelands Water to proceed with that project. Mm. So that's a separate exercise. Mm. Obviously, if the Collaborative Water Security Project, and that comes out, that augmentation comes out as one of the preferred options, and we certainly hope that it does, and it appears to be the sensible way forward. There's then a funding application. There's obviously a funding application and advocacy for funding, that's a separate exercise.
Yep.
And that's why we've sort of pushed back Lake Rollins to later in the long-term financial plan of 29-30 and 31-32, because a number of years ago, you find, probably when you were on Councillor Newstead on the, we probably had it much earlier, mm-hmm. in the term of the long-term financial plan. But obviously there's been a lot of developments since that time, and there's obviously been a lot of money spent to come up with suitable options. Yeah.
It's the never ending thing, isn't it? As well, what goes around comes around. But look, I think in terms of that project, and look, the general manager can agree or disagree with his comment, but I think we're closest than we've ever been to getting the augmentation of the dam through. There's this project now looking at the business case, developing the business case. The outcome of this will include much better understanding about future modelling for water flows, of rainfall and all of that. Certainly environmental impacts, cultural impact, social impact, all those sort of studies that would normally be done for an environmental impact assessment would all be happening as part of this project, I would hope. And also presumably engineering designs, everything, the whole lot, to come out of that project.
Have they put a timeline on when that information might, or when they will decide, or?
I'll hand that one over straight over.
Cool. I might take that on notice. If we can, and okay. There'll be further information to come.
Mr. Chairman, I recently went in and had a look at their website,
mm-hmm.
and the indicative time was the 30th of June 2026, where they'll have the final
report.
That's certainly what they're saying publicly
at this stage. Yep. So, yes, middle of next year, one would hope. Whether or not they keep to that is another issue. But it's got to be, the money has to be acquitted by, I think, the end of next year, anyway. Yeah.
That's the intention. The deed has the project finishing by the end of June next year. Obviously, that consultation phase, we should be notified of some of those outcomes prior to that. being a key beneficiary to the project, you'd like to think.
Well, primary, really the primary player in this. So, look, it's, yeah, we're as close as we've ever been. Needless to say, the general manager and I will be continuing our lobbying effort to ensure that the outcomes of that project, of that business case, is advantageous for CTW. And we'll, if it is, and the business case looks good for us, which I think it will be, we'll be going into bat for the best grant, you know, outcome that we can get. But what Peter's done here is to at least to indicate what we think is a reasonable contribution from CTW to that project, and it's got to be budgeted in there somewhere.
So it's interesting that our asset value of the Lake Roland is about $23 million, and yeah, the cost to
yes.
it could be $40 million.
It's 21 in one thing, and it's 23 in another.
Yeah,
I know they're running. To run their own asset.
Look, the oh no, I won't say what I was going to say. I'll move on. I was just going to make the comment under the, just in the planning assumptions component of that, page 52. Again, I and the capital works program, I guess I just wanted to see some sort of a comment in there that it again indicated some sort of a statement indicating the age of our infrastructure and the need to be spending this money. So I know it's restating what's been said earlier, but so the planning assumptions are more than just what's written there. It's also the need. There is a need to spend this money on this capital works program. So it's not just a wish list, it's a need list in many cases, based around the asset management plan that comes later and all of the priorities that are the risks involved. I mean, part of the reason for part of the reason why we've got a figure in there for the Lake Roland augmentation is we discussed that we're going to have to do some dam safety work no matter what. And that could be, well, I don't think it'll be $40 million worth, it'll be much less than that, but there's got to be a figure in there that's going to cover. So at least our contribution to this project, the augmentation project, that contribution that we budget for would be the amount that we'd probably be required to spend doing dam safety work if the augmentation didn't happen. So that's the rationale, isn't it?
That was the rationale, I guess.
Yeah.
In saying that, the dam safety work now could exceed the $6 million that we have in there.
Indeed.
That's something to consider later on.
Yeah, later on. Okay. Okay, there is a comment. Actually, there is a comment about the council's trunk mains are also reaching the end of their useful lives and a major program renewal estimated. This is on page 56. So it is written there. What I was asking for is there, but I just wonder whether or not that comment should be a little bit more prominent up the front, that's all.
Yeah, and that's only stating the trunk mains, not the actual treatment plants or any other things.
So if that comment and augmentation of that comment be brought up higher in under the planning assumptions, that would be great, just to really hammer it home. There's on page 57, top of page 57, councils follow the regulatory assurance framework issued by the Department of the Environment. I assume that's DQ, so that should be DQ there. I can.
Thank you, mate. It's a good year, that water.
Oh, it's great water, that water. And that was all I had on that section, I think. Any other comments? Thank you so much, Peter, for that. That's a big challenge doing that. And I know that you've got to make a lot of second guesses and third guesses and fourth guesses with some of this, but that's a massive amount of work. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. I think we'll move on to the delivery program, which starts on page 76. Any comments on that? I think it's pretty straightforward from my perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's really just the same, well, similar, but similar to what we discussed, but spread out over the 4 years. The workforce. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes, Councillor Pallett.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Apologies for interrupting that way.
That's all right.
And this will be Councillor Best. I'm looking at on page 81. Now, the constituent council's priorities. I'm looking at weapons there, and Councillor Best will probably be more familiar from the years of being on the board. But we're revising so many things at the moment. I'm just wondering whether we need to look at our priorities there, because there is no mention of water in that, and they're very sort of, there are a lot of words that,
Mr. Chair and Council, I can answer that. There is the unfortunate timing, everyone has to do their IPNR at the same time. And so whilst Wedden Council and the other constituent councils are undertaking their own community service planning, developing all these the plans, we have to develop it at the same time. So we have to use the older plan.
Can we bring that back down the track and amend in a meeting? Just because, you know, can we do that? If we come up with, if there's something relevant that comes up?
Well, yeah. If it comes up in the next month.
There'll be opportunity to review the BASP next year, as well as our operational plan. So there's opportunity to incorporate any amendments to our constituent council CSP and their priorities going forward. Absolutely.
Thank you. I just thought we might come up with something a little bit more.
That would be nice.
That's okay. Thank you, Councillor. That's a good suggestion.
She dropped out. Through you, Chair, what we could do is we could look at the drafts that are actually being placed out while the house is on 28 day. And if there are substantial changes, then we can maybe have a look at that before we finalise it in June.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah.
I think a little bit they're coming back to the actual recommendation at the top, because we've got endorsing it, and we're not actually technically doing that.
That's right.
That's correct. That's why I was saying just in this next month, 28 days, so we've got to
change that recommendation.
We can modify that if necessary. Public display. Okay, thank you, Councillor. Move on to the workforce management plan. There's just a typo in page 9 on page 90. You've corrected that.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just me again.
No, that's good pick up. Thank you.
Are there any other comments, questions about the workforce management plan?
Well, it's already been approved, so this is the one that we're just, the next one, like you're developing it for the next year, aren't you, really?
Yeah.
For the future.
Yeah.
Sorry, for that. Sorry.
You're back with us now, that's important.
My apologies.
No, it's not your fault.
Has the consultative committee or have a look at this, or workforce management plan? You don't actually have an active consultative committee?
Through the chair, we are currently at this point in time putting a committee together. Yep. They probably won't actually meet until end of June or beginning of July.
Yep.
But it is being put together at this moment.
And what about the union as well? Are many union members?
We're more than happy to provide them with a copy of it.
Chair, in creating or trying to recreate the consult committee, we currently don't have a union delegate.
Yeah.
And so the union Rep has to engage with our union members to get a delegate. We have obviously put out requests to all our staff of interest to be on the consult committee, and we've also established a work health and safety committee. And that's so we didn't get a lot of interest the first time around, and so we've gone around again. We've indicated to the union that they have an opportunity. So it'll be absolutely, obviously, under the constitution, we have to have union representation. So we're really hoping to try and get buy-in from the staff, and we'll keep trying. But the union certainly have been involved in that constitution that we've developed.
For you, Mr. Chairman, having commenced around the time when this was being looked at, the union was very clear that they didn't want any non-union members at that time on the consultative committee, and we fought long and hard to get that put in. You recall those times, the council best. So they may have changed their attitude, but it's always been a sensitive
issue. Right.
I noticed there's a picture there from the Work Health and Safety Workshop in Canandra just recently, which I attended, which was excellent.
What page is it, sorry?
Oh, just on page 96. So there's just a list of various training that's occurred. So there's a WHS workshop in Canandra back in April, which was attended by all of the operators, the water operators. I thought they engaged pretty well. I think it was a pretty successful day. And there's also a there's another one coming up, the Wellbeing Day. Are all board members invited to attend? I know I'm attending. Or well, is it?
It is a staff thread.
Okay, that's fine.
What is it?
Called it a wellbeing day. An opportunity for all the staff to be together in one room. So engaging with developing that rapport with across the staff base. Having the opportunity to look at, we've got Lifeline coming along to do a presentation. We're trying to get flu vaccinations. There'll be a bit of an opportunity to chairman to speak to the staff and just information. And then we're going to have some fun.
So are we allowed to go too, are we?
No.
No, the chair's doing that. That's a very, that's a very good idea.
I'll be there to open.
Where's that at, Tom?
We're having it at Cowra.
I think they need to do that,
That's good. Thank you. Okay, if and no more questions about that one, we'll move on to the asset management plan. Any questions, comments? We've already covered a lot of comments about a lot of stuff about the assets, about the age of assets, etc. Some good background information about our assets, about the source of water, etc. I personally had a quick issue with this map on page 111, 2.3 water supply systems. Obviously, the Grenfell water comes from Carcor, does it? But
or a can.
So the map there suggests that it does just come from Carcor. Whereas I thought that a fair chunk of that
predominantly
comes from Goolagong. And same with the Goolagong population there, that on the map. I'm just wondering whether or not that map could be modified to indicate perhaps with a crosshatch, some, you know, a blue and have another colour for the Goolagong bore. Is that all right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So a different colour for Goolagong with another. Should be a fourth category there of the water supply system, which included the Goolagong. And that for those areas that receive Goolagong bore water, then you just have a crosshatch of colour between Carcor and Googlegong. Does that make sense?
Well, you have it as a Carcor / Googlegong.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Oh.
Because in winter time, you probably don't need Googlegong.
We don't. That's the reality. We only use the bore when necessary, as it obviously cheaper to send it downhill than it is to pump it.
Yeah.
So we only bring that bore on when it's quiet in the peak summer periods, really.
So that was my only comment there. It was just, I thought Googlegong core was used more than this map suggests.
Possibly not.
Yeah, okay. Where's the bangaroo ball?
The bangaroo.
Not in this.
Not the one in Sydney.
No, that's Barangaroo. Okay.
It's
bangaroo.
It's halfway between Canoundra and Googlegong. Roughly.
Just on the side of a road somewhere? No. No. It's in a paddock. Out in a paddock somewhere. Okay.
It's the bores are actually capped.
Mm-hmm.
The water quality there, from my understanding, was pretty poor.
Mm.
So it's no longer in use. There is a site still there. We do have an allocation of water from there. It can be utilised.
If necessary.
If necessary.
So presumably there's piping to it, to and from it.
Absolutely, yes. Yep. Trunk Main C runs basically right past it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments about any of that document? It's pretty good. Obviously the climate change adaptation section. Yeah, there's a mention at the end there, the impact of climate change on assets is a new and complex discussion. Further opportunities will be developed in future revisions of this plan. I've made the comment, yes. Yes, this will need to happen. But I'm glad that is there. Well, no other comments, questions on that? Okay, moving right along. We're getting close to the end here.
That is the end. My friend.
Indeed. Okay. Well, if that's the case, if there are no further comments about them all, we'll go right back to the beginning. Thanks. Back to the original recommendation. And thank you to the staff, all staff involved, for putting these documents together. It's an exceptional amount of work, and we do very much appreciate the level of detail and professionalism that goes into the production of these. So I'd like to then put this motion. Well, it's been put by Councillor
Boswich.
Yes, Councillor Boswich, and seconded by Councillor Best. I'll put that all in favour.
Aye.
So, thank you, Councillor. So those plans, as with the minor amendments that we have made, will now go out on public exhibition for a period of 28 days, and at our next, and it will, they'll be hopefully put out at our next meeting. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you,
everybody. I need to move into confidential. So can I have a mover to go into confidential? Councillor Goswich, yep. Councillor Best, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay, we're out of normal, gone into confidential. So we'll go back to, Councillor Newstead, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay, we've gone back into open council. And I think we need to turn the, it's all on. Okay, we've just come out of confidential session where we have been dealing with an item on the MSM milling section 64 charges. And the what has been moved is a recommendation that council One, consider the request from MSM Milling to enter into a payment plan for Section 64 developer charges relating to their development. And secondly, delegate the General Manager to determine and formulate a payment plan in accordance with CTW 2021 Development Servicing Plan. I think that's it. And on that note, I think I'll call the meeting closed.
Thank you,
everybody. It's now, what is it, 12:36. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Wonderful meeting.
Love it.